Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, in isolation, without any additional context, the passage we read about Moses, and in fact, the whole story about Moses, is fascinating. And the intensity only increases when we consider that this is a true historic event. It really did happen. And this we believe. There's a man named Moses. There was a bush engulfed in fire, and the bush was not consumed. There was a voice from heaven, God, who spoke to Moses. And God prophesied, instructed, and sent Moses on a mission. And when we add to this the broader historical context, it becomes even more fascinating. God saw his people were enslaved with no hope of escape. And so he sent someone that would free them from slavery and lead them to the promised land. And that also did happen. So there's no wonder then that so many movies about this event have been brought to screen. The subject simply screams action and adventure. But if our consideration of Moses, of Israel, the burning bush, and the Exodus ends at this point, if we only view this as an event in history that starts and ends with his life, we lose out on the richness of Scripture. Not just this passage, but all of Scripture. And it's because this is really not about him or about the nation or even about the miracles. It's actually about Jesus. And when we recognize the story of Moses as an event pointing to the exodus from the slavery of sin that Jesus offers us, the parallels then become obvious. We can see that God uses Moses to point to Jesus. But even this is not a suitable place to stop. There's more than these two connected points. For if we draw a line only from Moses to Jesus, and even if that line runs through the cross to the empty grave, we still are missing out on the richness of Scripture. For you see, only seeing Jesus and Moses means that we see these events disconnected from our own lives, both earthly and eternal. And when we view ourselves as little more than audience members reclining in the seat of the present time at a movie of the past shining in front of us, we detach ourselves from the effects of those events and how they affect us. And if we become detached, we lose out on a deeper understanding of God's Word. And so tonight, my aim is not only to remove you from that theater seat, not only to place you inside the movie alongside Moses and the bush, but even impress upon you that although this portion of Scripture is riddled with Moses, and even though behind the scenes the plot is all about something that will happen several thousand years after, the motivation of the plot, the reason for it all playing out is you. It really is all about you. So let's take a step back and let's start with the burning bush, or more specifically, with God's voice through the burning bush. And our passage begins this way. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, this is not the first account of God coming down to his people. That designation is recorded in the very first pages of Genesis when God walked with Adam and with Eve. And this wasn't even the second time either, for God spoke to Cain. Then there was Noah, of course, then Job, Abraham, Jacob. And this wouldn't even be the last time either. For after Moses, there would be judges, there would be kings, and then the greatest visit of them all, God himself in the flesh. Over and over again, God descends to be with his people, to speak to them, to live among them, to serve them. This is truly a personal God. One who is intimately interested in each individual that he has created. Consider that the same God who spoke to Moses in the bush is the exact same God, the exact same God who speaks to us through Scripture. The very same God who was deeply interested in the lives of Israel, in the lives of Moses, is deeply interested in your life and in mine. You see, this is the connection between us and the story of God. It's a connection that draws us into his movie, onto his movie scene. And it begins to connect us to Moses and the other prophets and the other actors. And through this event, I think he uses the element of fire to make that connection. Consider, for example, the burning bush itself. From where did God's voice come? The bush, of course. Verse 4 says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God was present in the engulfed bush. He didn't come down from heaven like he had in other times. Or he didn't call down from heaven like he had at other times. This time, he called from within the fire, from within the bush. He was in with and under that bush. It was engulfed by his presence. And yet, it was not destroyed. What a powerful illustration of God's fire that doesn't destroy, but consumes. And it consumes. Not for destruction, but for creation, for purification, God warns Moses, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Is it no wonder, then, that the Holy Spirit is depicted throughout Scripture as a consuming fire? It's as if God is showing us that through baptism we are this burning bush, and He comes down and enters into it, purifying and preparing it for the work that He would have us do in this world. You see, we're much more than disconnected audience members in this movie of God. By being a part of this living story, then, we are connected not just to the events of the past, not just to Moses, the prophets, and the history, but to the promise of the future. Jesus is the means for this connectedness. It is through His blood that we find connection with Moses, with Israel, and with the freedom from slavery that they experienced. Because we also were enslaved, not to Egypt, but to Satan. And just as God sent Moses to free His people from the grips of earthly reign, He sent Jesus to free us, His people, from the grips of demonic reign. This is the full plot of the movie, and it doesn't make sense if we are not participants in it. Now, during this Advent season, we'll continue to explore Old Testament passages that foretell the coming of Jesus. And the importance of this cannot be understood without also remembering the why. Don't lose sight of the why. Don't become distracted by the what and the how. The why is what is important. The why is what places you and me on that screen. The why is what gives meaning for everything in Scripture. The why is what motivated God to act in every way that He did. The why, of course, is you. All of us. Every action by God is an action on our behalf, so that we can forever give glory to God. So stay out of the theater seat. Participate in God's story, for it is a story that includes you and your eternal life. Please pray with me. Lord, upon the mountain, the bush burned bright with your glory. From within you called your servant Moses to lead your people from slavery. You later sent your son to earth to lead us out of your own slavery. In our baptism, you connect us to yourself and purify us with the blood of Christ. You send the Holy Spirit to burn in us like the flame from the mountaintop, purifying and preparing us for life with you. And we ask that you continue to work in us, that we may point others to you so that they too can experience everlasting life. In your name we pray. Amen.